Good morning and welcome to Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church. We're thankful to be here again on this beautiful fall day. Isn't it wonderful to see the weather change and the seasons of the years and the cooler temperatures makes us feel so much better. As we come this morning, I'm going to look again in Acts chapter 14 after we sing a special. As the gospel spread in the New Testament church, you find that wherever it went, God had a people. God has always had a people among every nation, tongue, and kindred upon the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, the Lord told the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18, "I have much people in this city." And so we find those people need the Lord. And so do we. And so I'd like to try to sing the song, "People Need the Lord." Stand in need of the Lord, His presence, His strength, and His guiding hand. When you read chapter 14 in the book of Acts, two verses stand out to me. Verse 1 and verse 22. Verse 1 and verse 22. Now, the book of Acts is a history of the beginning of the gospel church. And we find, reading that history, that there are great spiritual lessons that we can learn and apply to our own walk with Jesus Christ today. First, we find in verse 1, as they came to another city called Iconium, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both, Paul and Barnabas, together into the synagogue of the Jews, and they so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Gentiles, believed. But then he says later on in verse 22, when they were going back and confirming the churches, as they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, he said, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul tells them and Barnabas tells them, we will face opposition, we will be persecuted, but our faith and our belief in Christ and in God Almighty should be so strong that we might stand firm in the face of persecution and in the midst of that tribulation, that we enter into the kingdom of God. That is talking about the kingdom here in this life, here in this world, that we have the privilege to be a part of. And when we enter into His kingdom, there is great joy. Great joy. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank You now for the privilege of worship. We pray now that as we join our hearts in prayer, that You might be with us, leading, guiding, and directing us, that we might enter into the kingdom, although it is oftentimes through much tribulation. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 14, in verse 17. He gives a definition of the kingdom of God. He says there in Romans 14 and verse 17. He said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not natural food. As a matter of fact, it is not a natural kingdom. But he says, the kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17, is three things. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Number one, the kingdom is composed of righteousness. Now, whose righteousness do you suppose that is? Could it be any righteousness of our own? No. We have no righteousness of our own. Isaiah chapter 64 says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of our holy God. We know that it must be only the imputed righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For in our scripture meditation this morning in Psalm 98 in the bulletin, it reads this way, the Lord hath made known His salvation, and His righteousness has He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. And that was a prophecy of the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ there in Psalms chapter 98 that was printed in our bulletin this morning. He said, God made known His salvation, and it was through Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of God. So He is our righteousness. Then second, He is also our peace. Jesus brought peace between us and our holy God. Otherwise, there could be no peace. And as Paul and Barnabas went about those various cities preaching, they preached the kingdom of God. And that was the message that was believed there in Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. And then third, Paul said in Romans chapter 14, 17, he also said, third, that the kingdom of God produces joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Spirit. And that we find as well when we read about the joy that the apostles had as they went about preaching the Word of God, even when they were persecuted and almost, in some cases, stoned, even to the point of almost dying, they would shake the dust of the city against them off of their feet, go to the next city, and it says that their heart would be filled with great joy because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Paul and Barnabas now going into the city of Iconium, many believe, both Jews and Greeks, both Jews and Gentiles. But immediately in verse 2 of chapter 14, he says, but the unbelieving Jews, those that didn't believe, stirred up the Gentiles, making their minds evilly affected against those who did believe and against the brethren. So when the gospel is preached, it does one of two things. It either makes people glad or it makes people mad. Glad or mad? To God's children, the gospel makes us glad because that's what it is. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, they said, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. The gospel is the glad tidings. But for those that are not born of the Spirit, what does it do? It makes them mad. Because their unbelieving heart cannot believe that there is a God in heaven, a God who created all things, both seen and unseen. And so when the gospel is preached, it always brings division. We find that a little later on in this chapter. So many believed and with great joy received the gospel message. And they stayed there a long time, preaching the word boldly, giving testimony of God's grace. And also, they performed many signs and wonders, it says in verse 3. Signs and wonders followed the ministry of the apostles. Jesus allowed His apostles the privilege, I wouldn't want to say ability, but I want to say the privilege through God's miracling grace to show signs and wonders. Healing, the sick were healed and dead were raised from the dead. And so these signs and miracles were evidence that God was with them. And we find that whenever they begin now to face great persecution. It says in verse 5, when there was an assault made, there was an attempt made to assault them. They knew about it, that they wanted to stone them, that they left that city and went to the next city. And so they come to Lystra. Lystra was a famous city in Lycaonia. Lystra and Derbe. And there was a man there that was brought to the synagogue. He was lame. He couldn't walk. Do you remember the story in Acts chapter 3 of the lame man that was brought to the temple in Jerusalem? And Peter and John saw him and beholding him said, "Rise up and walk." And immediately he stood up and leaped and walked and rejoicing went into the temple worshiping and praising God. Well, the same thing happened here in the city of Lystra. There was an impotent man who never walked, that he was a cripple from his mother's womb in verse 8. And he heard Paul preaching, and Paul steadfastly beholding that lame man, he perceived that that man had faith to be healed. Obviously, he was a child of God. He had been born of the Spirit, been quickened by the grace of God. He had faith to be healed. He was already saved eternally, but he had faith to be healed of his lame legs. So Paul said to that lame man with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And what happened? He immediately leaped and walked, just like the one did in Acts chapter 3 with Peter and John. So with Paul and Barnabas, the same thing happened. Now, these great miracles occurred, but then the heathen people there, they started to worship Paul and Barnabas. They had a pagan religion, and they believed that their gods would come down in the form of human beings that they might physically worship them. They were great idol worshipers. And so after this great miracle of healing was done, it says in verse 11 that when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they started to worship Paul and Barnabas. They would have done sacrifice to them. But look in verse 14. When the apostles knew about it, what did they do? They rent their clothes, they ran in among the people and cried out loudly, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passion with you. Don't worship us. Worship the one true and living God." No man, no mortal man is worthy to be worshipped. As great as the Apostle Paul was, he was not worthy to be worshipped. As revered as Mary, the mother of Jesus, was, she was not worthy to be worshipped. Only God and our Lord and Savior is worthy of worship, because He is God and we are not. So he said, "We are men of like passions. Don't worship us. Turn from these vanities to the living God. Turn from your idolatry. Turn from whatever it is that stands between you and the living God. Because He's the one who made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. He's the Creator. Worship the living Lord." But they wouldn't hear it. And it turned out that they stoned the Apostle Paul. It says in verse 19, And there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, where they had already been, persuaded the people, and they stoned Paul and drew him, literally dragged him, out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. They stoned Paul almost to the point that he died. You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 when he was recounting his journeys? He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, of the Jews in verse 24, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's 39. Thrice, three times, was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. And that was there in the city of Lystra. Thrice, three times, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And he goes on there and recounts all of the perils and the persecutions that he faced for preaching the gospel of Christ. It was a very perilous journey. And so they left the city and they went to Derbe and they preached there. And then after that, they went back again to the same cities to confirm the souls of the disciples. You might say they were a glutton for punishment because they went back again to the same city where he had been stoned. But they went back because they knew that those new converts to the faith had to be confirmed. And he told them, that it is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. Remember, John the Baptist and also Jesus himself told us, when John the Baptist was pointing us to Jesus, he said in Matthew chapter 3, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Both John and Jesus, their first message was always, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God, "is at hand." Turn from your idols, whatever those idols may be. It can be money. It can be prestige. Whatever it is that comes between us and God, turn from your idol to the one true living God, maker of heaven and earth. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Looky here what Jesus told would happen. Jesus told the apostles what would happen to them. In Matthew chapter 10, he said this. In Matthew chapter 10, looky here, verse 16. Matthew 10, 16. It says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, but ye are to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But beware of men. What will they do to you? When you go forth to spread my word," Jesus told them, "they will deliver you up to their councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake." Why? "For a testimony against them and the Gentiles." And so he told them what was going to happen. But he told them also, "Don't fear what men may do to you." For he says in verse 28, "Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him," that is God, "who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So they stood firm, and it's through much tribulation that we entered the kingdom. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:11, "Yea, and those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And it's sad to me to realize that it's even true in America today. We are really facing persecution, even in America. We pray that God may help us, that these things will improve. But we find, he says, it's through much tribulation that we enter that kingdom. But when we do, we find a place of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So as Paul and Barnabas wound down their first evangelistic journey, what they did is they retraced their steps. And they went back to every city that they had visited on their way back to Syria. And they confirmed the people, the churches in every city that they previously visited. And then they went back where they were sent from. They were sent out from the church in Antioch, Syria. And it says now in verse 23, "And when they ordained elders in every church, ministers to minister the word, they prayed and they fasted, they laid their hands on them. They went through the different churches, the different cities one more time." And verse 27 says, "And when they were come and gathered the church together, that they rehearsed all that God had done with them, that how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." And there they abode a long time. I read that they were probably about 4 years on their journey, and they probably stayed there about 2 years when they got back to Antioch. So they rejoiced that God had opened the door of the gospel, the door of faith, to the Gentiles. Just like God showed Peter that He opened the door to the Gentiles there. So we find there is persecution. Look at this in Matthew chapter 5. I want to close with this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. This was the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus began the Beatitudes, which I like to refer to as the beautiful attitudes. The beautiful attitudes. When Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But then he said in verses 10, 11, and 12, Matthew 5, 10, 11, and 12, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Why? Why persecuted for righteousness' sake? He says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And then he says, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you, my disciples, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake," for my name's sake. God's children, God's people, Christians are persecuted. And it's sad to know that not only by the evil, wicked people, but even in many cases by so-called Christians even, persecuting other Christians. But we find that we're going to be reviled, spoken against. People will want to stone us for standing up for the truth. But stand firm, shake the dust off your feet, and keep moving forward. And then he says, look in verse 12, Matthew 5 and 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. I believe again he's speaking of the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness, joy, and peace. Rejoice, be exceeding glad. For so persecuted they also the prophets which were before you. So we can rejoice as they did when we stand firm and face opposition. There is a joy that comes over us. There's a peace that passes understanding that the world cannot understand. The world cannot comprehend it. It was not for them to understand, but it's for you and me today. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.